Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What happens when a man just wants to get a good night's sleep, but instead finds himself being harassed by spirits from beyond? Then we take a look at the story of a little boy who may have found the secret to getting whatever you want in life. And then we hit the high seas to take a look at the story of a ship that everyone in the area knew was full of pirates. But when the ship and its crew hasn't been seen for a while, even their worst enemies could have never wished this type of hell upon the pirates. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day, too. Hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. We got a ton of stuff to cover today. So first off, walking into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for August. Woohoo! Yeah! Wee! Yeah, August walking in dressed up like a pirate. August, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. August is of the famous duo Brady and August. They've come out to see me 3 times now doing live presentations, and all of the well-wishers and people who came out during the Oregon Ghost Conference, you guys are getting shout-outs in these upcoming episodes. But if you guys can't see me live, I totally understand why there's people all over the world. They're like, I can't get to Oregon. Even if you guys can't see me live, even if you guys can't support the show financially, that's totally fine. It really, really is. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. August, let's go ahead and get this party started. I'm going to toss you the oars to the Dead Rabbit rowboat. Everyone hop on board this tiny little vessel. And when we got cramp in there, it literally is the size of just the normal rowboat. August, take these oars and row us out of Dead Rabbit Radio Command all the way down to... Wait, we're not doing the pirate thing yet. Why are we in a rowboat? It doesn't matter. Anyways, row us all the way down to, Hood River.
Ooh, splash. Ooh, splash. Ooh, splash.
A mighty row indeed headed on down to Hood River. This first story just happened to me last night. It's a personal story. It's so funny because when I was at the Oregon Ghost Conference, I people say this to me all the time. I always have the same answer. Somebody, I forgot who it was, somebody said, I really like your personal stories the best. And I go, well, normally, the reason why I do the personal stories, as I said, a lot of times, they would come out of the sense that, because it's stuff that's happened to me 10, 20 years ago, right? And all of a sudden, I'm talking about on the podcast. They go, a lot of times, those personal stories, like the dragon, or the angel, or the blue boy. What's happened in those, and I'll put all these episodes in the show notes. What happened was I didn't have enough stuff to talk about in a particular episode. And I have an episode due, so I'd be like, well, what can I... Very rarely are those planned. I think the one that was the most planned out when I was like, oh, I want to talk about this, was the story about the Shadow Men. And I think that might have been one of my first personal stories. But with the angel and the episode about the dragon and all that stuff, a lot of times I'd be like, I don't have anything else to talk about. And I'd think, oh, I'll talk about one of my personal experiences. And it's funny because it kind of came out of a need of a subject matter. I didn't have anything else to go off of. And people have said, oh, those are some of my favorite episodes. And I go, yeah, a lot of times those episodes were my back was to the wall. I didn't have anything to fill it. I go, the problem with those... Like, if those are your favorite episodes, I only have so many personal stories. And I go, I think I've really told all of them at this point. I was talking to when I was talking to the person at the Oregon Ghost Conference, I said, I think I've kind of gone through them all at this point. I can't, maybe there's like one or two that I haven't told yet. Maybe a little bit more that I just don't remember. But yeah, so I go, if those are your favorite ones, it's basically, it's a finite well of stories. And I said, and that's really the way it should be. If I kept having these crazy once-in-a-lifetime paranormal events happen to me, you'd start to think, well, maybe he's making it up. So let's talk about what happened to me last night. Let's talk about what happened to me last night. Because this is a personal story, and just like the fire alarm story on Monday's episode, you go, you know, this could have been something, this couldn't have been something. I don't want to talk about it as long as I did talk about the fire alarm episode, but what happened was, to make a long story short, my friend Sabine, her house is haunted. We've talked about that before on the podcast. It's an odd haunting. And I had experiences there. I'm not going to go into great detail because we talked about that. I'll put the link in the show notes. But the other day she goes, hey, do you still have tarot cards? And I was like, yeah, I still have them. I haven't done a tarot reading in probably like 3 years at this point, maybe longer. She goes, well, would you mind giving me a reading? And I was like, no. I go, I'm a little rusty. I might have to look up what some of the cards mean because it's been a while. She's like, yeah. Now, I don't fancy myself as a great fortune teller by any means. The fact that I don't even have the cards memorized should tell you something. Sabine goes, would you mind doing my cards? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I bring my cards over, and we didn't end up having time to do the cards because we got back to her place pretty late. But I brought them, and again, like, I kind of organized them, set them out, and all that stuff. They had not been out of their bag for probably 3 years. Anyways, I spent the night at her place, and I'm asleep. She's asleep. I'm dead asleep. And then all of a sudden, I'm awake. And Sabine's awake. We're sleeping like back to back. And the first thing she says is Jenny in the room? Jenny's her cat. Sometimes Jenny, you know, needs to go out to the bathroom late at night. So he'll start tearing ass through the house. I think about it, it could be the ghost chasing him. And he's like, ah, he got to poop really bad because these ghosts are scary. But he's not allowed in the bedroom. I wake up. I don't know why I woke up. But I woke up. And she goes, is Jenny in here? And at that point, as I'm starting to become more and more like aware of my surroundings, more conscious, I realize that we are not alone in the room. It's just that gut instinct. We're not alone in this room. And I remember rolling over and it's just a normal dark room. And I don't hear Jenny. Jenny's a loud cat. Scratches the bed. If it can't wake anyone up, normally does all these weird noises. Flying around possessed, flame shooting out of its eye balls. I feel bad for Jenny. I always say we should leave a light on in this house because Jenny has to be terrified. He's just sitting in the dark all night long. It's scary. It's super scary. This house is scary. It's haunted. I wake up. I roll over after she says, is Jenny in here? And there's an easy way to check, right? To get out of bed, to go see. I did not want to get out of bed. For the very first time, I felt deeply uncomfortable being in this house. Like, I did not feel good. I felt like not only, and I've never felt like this before, and I know the place is haunted. I've seen, like, that little, like, black shadowy size of a child thing kind of peeking around, looking out of the bathroom. I go, I don't think so. And I just laid there. If she goes back to sleep, and I totally don't feel comfortable, I feel like there's something in the room. And I just am laying there. Because of my discomfort, this is something I think I've talked in another episode. I think it was the Angel episode. I can visualize, because I, at the end of the day, here's the thing. Some of the stuff I say is so ridiculous. Even these stories that happen to me, they're just so ridiculous. it borders on, you're like, that guy's either mentally ill or he's making stuff up, or both. But I've dealt a lot with supernatural forces. Again, I'm not good at it. I'm not an expert. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a guy. But one of the things that I've done over the years, I did talk about this in the Angel episode. It's embarrassing to talk about. It sounds so goofy, but sometimes I have to project onto myself, like, I think in the Angel episode, it was a sword, and now it's like a sword and a shield. It's like visualize myself with these spiritual weapons in situations of high paranormal danger. Now that I think about it, there actually are a few more stories that I've never told. You're like, oh, that's weird. You made a clay dragon and all of a sudden you have battle armor on. We're missing some stories here. There are other stories that I've never talked about. I've never even told other people about. But visualize this shield and I have this sword. It's quite childish. I have to admit, it's very childish. But I feel like it gives me a sense of safety. I could have just turned a light on. I could have just gone up out of bed and found out where the cat was. And I go, she fell back to sleep. So I'm laying in bed and I visualize this stuff on me. And I'm just laying there. Nothing's happening. And I start to fall asleep. And I fall asleep. And, you know, I don't know how much time passed. It felt like maybe 5 seconds. Once I fell asleep, all of a sudden, there's a new noise in the bedroom. And I'm woken back up. Because what started this whole thing was like there was this presence coming into the room. And we talked about it the next morning. Sabine said that she heard some noises and that's what woke her up. I remember waking up because I felt there's something in the room and maybe a noise. But the second time I woke up because of the noise. It was the sound of a cat scratching the end of the bed. It's just a single time. It goes shh. And I knew that wasn't Jenny. I 100% knew it wasn't Jenny. I think at first I was kind of hoping it was. But it was just one time. That cat will scratch everything up. Scratch you up. If you walk by it, if you think Jenny's a cute cat, prepare to get scratched. Prepare to get bitten. And now I'm like, okay, there's definitely something in here. If the earlier one was me, like, coming out of a dream or something like that, now it's happening again. And I don't feel comfortable in here. Sabine's still asleep. I'm not getting out of bed. I'm not getting out of bed. Armor and sword or not, I'm just going to lay here. And this continued on. I would just be like, I'm just going to lay here. Because, you know, my parents, you know, the Southern Baptist minister and my mom, Southern Baptist as well, they're always like, just ignore it. Just ignore it. Like, there's these spiritual forces out there. Just ignore them. They want your attention. And I knew this house was haunted, but I never had, like, an experience where it was trying to make me unwelcome or who knows what was going on. But then we talked about the next morning. Sabine said she had woken up a couple more times and she had each time heard like a sound. A sound was waking her up. And she goes, you know, we did have the bedroom window open and we had the kitchen window open. So like wind was blowing through the house and it kind of been moving stuff. And I was like, she told me that late at night. She goes, oh, don't worry about the noises. We have these windows open. But then the next day, she's like, she goes, the windows are open. And I go, I don't know about that. And she's like, yeah, me neither. She was trying to be rational about it. But what happened was I would just lay there. I'd try to ignore it. I'd fall back asleep. And then a new noise would pop up. Creak of a door. Something like that. And it would wake me up because I'm already in this heightened state. And what was really the oddest thing, and this was kind of the last one I heard, and this is what made me realize that whatever this was, it wasn't normal to this house. At a certain point, I really thought about getting out of bed, packing up the tarot cards, and putting them in the car. Like, that was really going through my head. I really, really thought about that. And I didn't, because I said, I'm not going to, whatever this is, I'm not going to give it any strength whatsoever. I'm not going to have any fear. I'm not going to be worried. But in the back of my head, also was really cold outside, and I didn't want to have to put on pants. But I remember thinking, like, I could just pack all my, it has to be related to these cards. I've been hanging out in this house for years. Actually, now that I think about it, the last time we used those tarot cards might have been longer than 3 years. We might be closer at like 5 or 6 years that they've been in this little baggie. It's like a felt baggie. It wasn't like a Ziploc bag. I remember thinking I could probably end all this if I got up and moved the cards outside, but I don't like to be beholden to superstition, so I didn't know if that's exactly what was doing it, and it would be goofy if it had nothing to do with it, and I picked it up and put it in the car, and then came back inside. The last noise I heard is so weird. I'm laying in bed, and I hear, I'm back asleep, I'm asleep at this point, and I'm having, you know, I don't know where the dream started and where I was starting to wake up, but what happened was, I know exactly where, when I was awake, I was fall back asleep, and I hear this approaching noise, a very thunderous noise. It's going, like, imagine that much louder. It sounded like a jet flying overhead. And I'm having this dream where I'm in the backyard of the house, and there is a circular bright light, like a floating ball, like a white floating ball flying over Hood River. UFO. It's so loud. It's so loud, and it's not necessarily approaching me, it's just in the area, and I remember being like, oh my god, this is so terrifying. It's funny to think, I don't dream about really any of the stuff I talk about on this show, considering it makes up a good 20 hours of my week. I don't really have any dreams about aliens, now that I think about it, but anyways, I'm standing outside and I hear this loud UFO. It's so loud, it's almost deafening as it's flying around. And again, it's not getting closer. I don't feel in danger of it. It's just the idea that it's anywhere near Hood River. It's like the sky's being ripped apart. Then I wake up. This part I was 100% awake for. I wake up, and when I say me and Sabina are sleeping back to back, like, my back's to the door as well, so I would kind of have to curve my body to kind of look. But I remember waking up, clearly waking up from the dream of that bright light in the sky, and all of a sudden I hear a beep. 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 It was clearly a mechanical or an electrical beeping noise, and then there was like this motion. And it was moving away from the bedroom. Like, I could clearly hear it. And I woke Sabine up. I was like, dude, do you hear that? And she's like, huh? Huh? I don't hear anything. Beep. And you're laying there in bed, right? Like, you're trying to rationalize this. What I was thinking, I go, was there possibly a car driving down the road? At this point, it would have been like 1, 2 in the morning. It was odd because it sounded like it started in the bedroom and I could hear it move. The next time I heard it, it would have been back towards like the living area. And then the next time I heard it, it was outside the house. Like, it was that far away. And then I heard it one more time and it was like down the road. I could, that Doppler effect, is that what it's called, where you can hear it moving away? I should add, too, I didn't think about this. I know this story's been out of order and I've been interrupting myself because I'm still processing all of it. This all started really after we'd first gone to bed, which is probably around 11 o'clock at night. I had a giant, giant burrito at Lake Taco. There's a restaurant called Lake Taco. I ordered the macho burrito. It's huge. And it hurt my stomach. As you would assume, their food is really good, but it's a giant burrito. And all night, like even before we went to bed, like 8, 9, 10, I was like, oh, this is great advertisement for Lake Taco. I was like, oh, their food's really good. But I was like, oh, my stomach. And I was having really bad gas pains. So I had to keep running to the bathroom. It was a constant. And then we go to bed and my stomach's fine. But before all of this stuff started, before there was the noise of someone walking in, of the presence of someone in the room, whatever it was, or something, I was laying there in bed and I woke up because my stomach hurt really bad. I had that gas pain. And I'm sitting there and I go, oh, Sabine, she just went to the bathroom. Like, Sabine got up and went to the bathroom and I'm like holding my stomach and I was like, oh, dude, what's she doing? What's she doing in there? What's she building a sandcastle? Oh, my stomach. And I'm laying there in bed and I was like, dude, what's taking her so long? Why does she have to use this bathroom for so long? And this, I'm thinking about this, it's probably like 10, 15 minutes ago. And then I realized she never left the room. She was laying in the bed the whole time. Now, that didn't like set me off at all. I just figured, oh, I'm a dummy and I'm in a lot of pain. And I woke up. I didn't think that something was in the room and it tricked me into thinking she was in the bathroom. Like, I didn't have that thought then. And I don't entirely know if I'm even having that thought now. But I thought about that. I was like, I wonder if that was the start of it. Like, I felt, if I felt somebody leave the room, and I would assume it was her because she was the only person in the room. Apparently, in the middle of the night, Sabine said that she had woke up and she had gotten cramp on her leg. She was standing up trying to work out the cramp, and I said, Mom? And then I said a couple other things, and I fell back asleep, which I don't talk in my sleep. What's interesting is, though, is I do remember waking up, and Sabine was not standing up, working out her legs. I rolled over at one point, and I see who, again, I assume is Sabine, sitting on the bed, facing the wall away from me. And I rolled over, and I saw her sitting on the bed, looking away. And I remember just assuming that was her, and then going back to sleep. Crazy stuff. I mean, here's the thing. That's possible. That probably really happened. She might have sat for a while and then stood up and started working her knee out and all this stuff. This is one of those things. Like, I think that part of the story happened. I don't think it was a weird, creepy ghost. Well, I don't want it to be, right? I don't want it to be. We'll get to that in a second. But I think that probably really was her sitting on the bed, looking away from me. That's possible. I do think that when I woke up and thought she was in the bathroom, I just assume I was mistaken. I think those two things, you could go, well, that was just something else. I do believe something was in that room. I think there was way too much stuff going on, way too much activity in that room going on. The fact that we were wondering if it was Jenny, if it was the cat that entered the room, and then it wasn't, and then we both go back to sleep, and then the next time I wake up, it's the sound of Jenny in the room. It was never Jenny in the room. We know that because if Jenny was walking around trying to wake us up and we didn't wake up, he'd poop everywhere. Like, we'd have proof that that was really him. And the electronic sound, that's what really is creepy to me, too, is we talk about that on the show. We assume, I think most people, that a ghost is a ghost and a cryptid's a cryptid. And the alien's an alien. But it was like this ghost or whatever it was imitating high tech. Something electronic, something mechanical at the end there. And I don't know. I mean, you could also say, Jason, I'm pretty sure you got abducted last night. You had a quote-unquote dream of this ball flying around. It was super loud. And then you heard something leaving the room. Who knows? Crazy stuff, though. Probably not going to bring my tarot cards back over. And here's the thing, too, and this is something that I wanted to touch on. I get it. I'm a paranormal researcher. I don't personally like having experiences like this. I don't have a problem going to a location that is haunted. I don't have a problem doing on-the-ground research. I don't like it in my personal life. It's, you don't get a good night's sleep. You don't know what, I mean, you're basically facing down against something that you don't know what it is. I doubt war correspondents. People who go to war zone and take photographs, they don't want to come home to a house where everyone's beating each other up all the time. Maybe they do loving taking photos of, like, civil strife. You don't want it at your own house. I do love paranormal research. I do like knowing what this stuff is. I will go to haunted places. I don't want to live in the haunted place. I don't want to hang out at the haunted place. I want to sit down and play Minecraft and not have a little ghost boy peeking out around the corner. Now, here's the thing. That happened before at that house. That is even more acceptable than trying to get a good night's sleep and a presence constantly waking you up. I don't like it. It's not fun. If it's happening to somebody else, we'll cover it on the podcast. We'll have a good laugh. Little boy can't sleep. But if I'm the little boy, it's not as funny, right? I just want to get a good night's sleep. So who knows what that was? I do believe it was paranormal. I think that some of it you could say was this, was that. It was interesting, too, because Sabine, she goes, because she has to experience stuff like this, but even this was, like, keeping her awake. She didn't think this was something, a entity or a ghost that's normally at this place. She said, do you think it could have been the tarot cards? When we woke up the next morning, we were talking about it. And I go, it's possible. It's possible that it was tarot cards. And she goes, and it is Easter. It is Easter. And I was like, yeah, you know, that could be part of it too. Who knows? But it was not fun because it was happening to me. But I hope you guys enjoyed that. I actually ended up talking about that way longer than I thought I was going to. But yeah, just personal paranormal story. I hope you guys enjoyed that. August, let's go ahead and talk. Do we have time? No, we're going to have to make time this time. August, let's go ahead and get on to the next story. I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. Let's leave behind Hood River. Drive us all the way out to an abandoned barn. It's spring 1999. We're about to meet a young boy. Let's call him Steve. He's 11 years old. He's turning 12 soon. The world is his oyster. But he lives in a rural area, so he doesn't even know what an oyster looks like. The world is his snail. He's hanging out in this rural area. Now, Steve, he posted this. He goes, I was kind of a loner kid. I didn't have many friends except for the snails. Except for the snails. He goes, I love snails. My favorite mollusk. Anyways, he's a loner, but he did love, like, exploring. That's definitely something you can do on your own. Not safely, but it can be done. So he would like to just walk around the area and see what he could discover. Be lost in his own thoughts and just be enjoying life the way only a loner can. I like being alone. It's quite fun. I think it's refreshing. But I know a lot of people aren't like that. He's looking around and he goes in the area because it was kind of a country area. You'd like just walk right through a farm. You see like a farm not necessarily in use. You're like, oh, eating corn. Nom, 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 nom. You're dressed up as a crow. You're harassing the farmer. No, he goes like, I would just walk through fields and wonder what I was going to find. See what was on the horizon. He goes, there's abandoned structures as well. He goes, there was abandoned structures as well. You'd be walking through this old farm. You're going to come across an old barn. You look inside and the rafters are all rotting. And there's like a family of possum up on the top shelf of the barn. They're like, shh. Steve's like, it's okay, possum and possum babies. I'm not here to hurt you. He's walking in. One day, Steve was walking through this old field that contained one of these old barns. And he goes, you know, I wonder what's in there. I wonder what's in that barn. He goes, I walked into the barn. It was full of junk. It was full of stuff that the people who originally had the barn, they're like, well, we're losing the farm, Mabel. We're going to have to move to the big city, and you're going to have to work as a seamstress in a factory somewhere. And Mabel's like, but Charlie, what should we do with all these boxes? We got all these old newspapers we've collected over the years and all these sweaters that have holes in them. Just leave them in the barn, Mabel. We got bigger problems. We're homeless now. Mabel's like, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. It was just full of junk. It was full of junk. Boxes of trash. And Steve goes, it wasn't just trash. It was old and moldy trash. So you get to a box, it's full of just papers. Old newspapers. And then there'd be a layer of mold. Over how many years, maybe decades, that the stuff in here would get wet and then dry, wet and dry, and it'd get moldy. And he goes, even on top of the mold, there was dust. This stuff had not been disturbed for a long time. So Steve goes, let's do this. I wonder what's in some of these boxes. What treasures can I find other than multiple diseases as I inhale all the mold? He goes, this barn was so old, there wasn't even a house on the property. He goes, I assume there was a house at some point on this property, but at this point, the only building standing is this barn. So he starts digging in all this old stuff. What else is he going to do? He finds in some of them, like, old bills. Some of them contain glassware. Nothing that's going to keep a kid entertained. Just stuff, and he's digging around, and then he gets to the bottom of one of these boxes. Oh my God. Is that? He reaches to the bottom of the box, and he picks it up, and he looks at it, and he's like, no way. Are you kidding me? And he opens it up, and he goes, this is the best day ever. I cannot believe it! And he closes it tight. And he runs out of the barn. Holding in his hand Final Fantasy VIII for the PlayStation. He goes, this game had just come out a couple months before this day. He found Final Fantasy VIII for the PlayStation in the case. And he was shocked. He'd wanted this game so much, but he couldn't get it. I'm assuming he didn't have enough money. But in 1999, it might have even been a transportation thing. You're not ordering stuff off the internet. You might have not been able to go to a place that sold it, but he wanted this game so badly for months. It had just come out pretty recently. And here it is at the bottom of this box in this abandoned barn. And being 11, 12 years old, he grabs it and takes off running and gets home and puts it in and plays it. He's sitting there playing Final Fantasy VIII. He goes, It didn't even cross his mind logically how a new game that's only a couple months old ended up in the barn. We've talked about this before on the show. Kids don't know any better. When they have a bizarre event happen to them, they go, well, I guess this is how the world works sometimes. But as he's older, he posted this on the X-board. A while back, he posted this. It's a pretty short story, right? He goes, now, as he's older, Steve goes, I realize that this is impossible. He said it was at the bottom of a box, which you could figure, you know, maybe the boxes were thrown away more recently. Maybe it's possible that the barn hadn't been abandoned so long ago in the past. He said it's more than that. He goes, it was at the bottom of a box of junk, and on the top of the box, you had the mold, and you had the dust, and you had this old box full of old items, just trash. And it had been there for a long time. If he had just walked in and found the game on the floor, you could make all sorts of guesses of how it ended up there. But how it, I mean, this is what you do in archaeology, right? You find a piece of a pot deep enough, and you go, oh, this wasn't a tourist. This wasn't a tourist didn't buy a pot and then just smash it on the ground. Like, this is deep enough, we can assume that this pot came from this far back, based on how erosion works and how long it takes for soil to grow up over a particular area, so on and so forth. That'd be the same thing with this. How did a game that he wanted, the game that he wanted, it wasn't like Toe Jam and Earl or something, it wasn't some old Sega Genesis game, it was a game that he particularly wanted so bad, end up at the bottom of this box in the middle of nowhere. It's an interesting paranormal story. Well, you could Jason, it's barely paranormal. There's a couple different ways it could work. You're right. I guess you could say that it's possible that this was a newer box, and it's just a coincidence that it was the game he wanted more than anyone. You could say that, but it's also possible that there's a box out there that can grant you wishes. I love stories like this. I really do. I think that in the world of the paranormal, we deal with some knowns, and then we have the unknown knowns, and then the unknown unknowns, and all this stuff. And I think that this kind of factors into that. It's a little bit of law of attraction. It's like an instant law of attraction. It's a box that, if we take the story at face value, grants wishes. It's a box in an old barn that what you want the most lies at the bottom of it. I mean, like, that kind of trumps a lot of paranormal phenomenon. It's instant law of attraction. Now, he's a little boy. He's 11 years old. What he's really wanted was this video game, and that's what he finds. But if there was an adult, someone having money problems, and they really... Well, here's the thing. A lot of times people go, I want more money. I need more money. But you need to be concrete. If you're using law of attraction, if you're wishing for something, what does more money mean to a unfeeling universe? They may give you more money. Here's 75 cents. That's technically more money than you had. You got to say, I want a $10,000 a year raise. $10,000, and you were working towards manifesting that. Someone just had money problems. They may have gone in there and found 75 cents at the bottom of the box. It never would have crossed your mind that there was something paranormal about that. You just imagine somebody left 75 cents. August, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the Carboner Copter. We are leaving behind this barn. I hope you guys made a big wish. Hope you guys wished for something awesome that's overloading the Carboner Copter. All your wishes coming true at once. August, fly us away from this barn and all the way out to, oh, kind of back where we started, the Pacific Northwest. August, you also have to take off your pirate costume. This is not the cursed boat story. I'm starting to think that the true curse is the fact that I'll never get around to telling this story. I don't have enough time. I spent more time talking about me not being able to sleep. You're like, Jason, yeah, let me reconsider that story. That story, you told it out of order, but really it was the story of you eating a burrito so large it gave you gas pain, and then weirdly enough, paranormally enough, you weren't able to sleep that night. You kept having burrito-induced nightmares. Jason, that story was not paranormal. And the second one was just about a guy finding something in a box. He said he was an 11-year-old kid. He doesn't know how fast mold grows. Mold grows pretty quickly. So does dust. There's probably just a box with a video game in it. You're right. Both of those stories were possibly paranormal. And let's look at this last story. It's not pirate related. I don't have enough time to tell that one. We're headed back to the Pacific Northwest. It's nighttime. We're going to take a look at the story of a father and a son out snowmobiling. Kicking up snow as they snowmobile down these roads on this cold Pacific Northwest night. We're going to meet a man. We'll call him Philip. And pulling up the rear is his son. We'll call him Clark. They're out on their snowmobiles. They're up in the mountains just cruising around. Now, it hasn't snowed in a while, but the snow that's on the ground is totally fresh. It's that powder all of us Pacific Northwesterners love. I say it's okay, we get on their snowmobile and quit doing the sound effect. They're changing gears. They're jumping. Going down the snowmobile path. I missed my calling as a Foley artist. They're on their snowmobiles. They're driving around up in the mountains, cutting up that fresh snow. When they see something in the darkness. Philip stops his snowmobile and Clark comes up beside him and they're just kind of looking at something. There's something in the middle of the road, this snow-covered road. They say something up in front of them, and Philip turns to his son and goes, "Hey, son, you see that?" The son's like, "I sure do, Dad." "What is that?" "Well, let's get let's fire up these snowmobiles and get a little closer." They're slowly getting closer, and then, okay, stop, just let it idle. They're just out there looking at this thing. And what they see is a campfire. Little campfire in the middle of the road. But it's a little more than that. Because while that itself would be odd, that someone built a campfire in the middle of the road, it's a little bit more than that. It's described as a picture-perfect campfire. You could not design one better than this. This was how you would build a campfire to show how to build a campfire in a textbook or for a YouTube video. It was perfectly built, placed in the middle of this road. Burning bright. It's a fresh campfire. But Philip and Clark are close enough to see what they can't see. There are no tire tracks in the fresh snow. There's no footprints either. And it hasn't snowed in a while. This is a fresh campfire sitting in the middle of this snow-covered road, but it has not snowed in a while. It definitely hasn't snowed enough to cover up any sign of someone entering or leaving the area. Just a campfire in the middle of the road, burning brightly. Philip looks at his son. Clark looks at his father. And they both look out at this campfire one last time. Philip says, "Let's go, son. Got a bad feeling about this place." They both leave the area. That story was posted online. Jason, what's going on with this show? Hold on. You're being very judgmental this episode. That story was posted. Jason, it's not paranormal. It's weird. Hold on, let me finish. I love the fact that I have now have made you guys the arbiters of truth. I mean, like, Jason, what's up with this nonsense? That was posted online by someone going by the name Secret Finish 1205, and he is the other sibling. He goes, "I was not out on this snowmobiling trip. My father and my brother were." And they came back and they told me about it. They said it was so weird. It was a picture perfect. It was a textbook example of a campfire. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was in the middle of the road. We don't know how anyone built it. There was not enough snow to cover it up and all that stuff. Told them about this. It's possibly paranormal. It's a story right on the cusp of that. Logically, you could say, well, maybe somebody came out. Someone built the fire. Obviously, someone built the fire. Maybe someone came out and then covered up their own tracks. Because I figure, like, if I wanted to do this, I could do it. I would make a campfire. That's step one. Which I've never made a campfire in my life. So I'm like, I'll pull in up a YouTube video. I'm like, what? What's the first ingredient? Wood. Oh man, you guys are blowing my mind, YouTube. I've never built a campfire before. I've set a lot of stuff on fire, but never officially. I would bring in all the campfiring equipment, sticks and twigs and rocks and a lighter. You brought the lighter, right? Oh man, I'm all rubbing sticks together. And then I could also bring in my own like pockets full of snow. I could have like a big, big bucket of snow. And so after I build the fire and I light it, I go, wow, this sure is going to impress two people who may or may not stumble across this. As I was walking away, I could throw snow out of the bucket and cover up my own footprints. I mean, you could do that. I don't know why you would. I don't know why you would, but it's possible. You also, if you were hooked up to some sort of pulley device, like you were hanging from the tree by a harness, you could come down and build a little campfire, and then you tell your buddies, hey, lift me up, hide in the tree, it's going to be awesome. They don't know if anyone's going to drive down this road. Maybe if you had a bunch of balloons attached to you, you're kind of floating. I mean, now it's just getting more and more elaborate. You're like, yeah, Jason, it is more likely that it's a ghost. Who knows what built this? When I read this story, I thought, one, the surreal creepiness of something that you would think was normal in most other locations. If you were walking or snowmobiling and you saw a campfire in an area for campers, you would never think, wow, that's paranormal or something's wrong with that. But running across it in the middle of the road, in the middle of nowhere, now it's starting to kind of activate the eeriness factor. And once you saw that there was no footprints or no car tracks or anywhere where anyone could build this in the first place and it not be seen, now it's a mystery. It's a mystery as to who did it, why they did it, and how they did it. Philip and Clark left the area. This is where I think you start to border on maybe fae folk, which longtime listeners of the show, or even if you just listen to yesterday's episode, or what was it, Monday's episode, how much I love fairies, but almost seemed a bit like a trap. An old-timey trap. I mean, I could kind of, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this. This episode, I'm trying to keep it from going long. I was trying to find another last story that was kind of short, but it's funny to think about it. It could be a old-timey trap, because let's say that you were walking through the woods 150 years ago. You're up in the Pacific Northwest. It's snowing. You're freezing. Or it snowed recently. We'll keep pretty much all the details the same, except for 150 years in the past. It snowed recently. The ground is still covered in snow. You're trudging from point A to point B. You're walking down this path and you see a fire in the middle of nowhere. Your first thought may be something paranormal is going on, but you also just want to warm up. You may just run over there. Once you've disturbed the snow, you'd really have no way of knowing whether or not someone else had walked out there because you put footprints or feet prints everywhere. But you'd sit down, you're like, oh my god, it's so cold. Oh, the fire, that looks awesome. It's perfectly built. This is great. And you throw off your knapsack, and you sit down in the snow, and you start rubbing your hands together, and you're feeling the warmth of the fire. And then whatever created this fire created it as a trap. And now you're not just warming yourself with the fire, you are being cooked over the fire. Something's going yummy, yummy, yummy. There's nothing better than Mountain Man. I'm taking big bites out of you. It's a trap. It's a trap. Some sort of paranormal entity was trying to get you to stop here. Or maybe you're just now slave of the faithful. something lame. You're not being eaten by a mountain monster. But it's interesting to think that, let's say that this was a trap by some sort of paranormal entity. Would they, this is what I'm getting at, would they evolve with the times? Like, the box gave the kid a video game that had only been out for a couple of months. So that's pretty recent. I wonder how many, like, cryptids or paranormal entities aren't hip with the new thing. Like, nowadays, you're driving a snowmobile. You're like, oh, there's a fire. That's weird. Even if you thought it was weird as a mountain man, the weirdness may be overlooked because you really need to warm yourself up. But the guys on the snowmobile goes, wow, a fire. Whoa, that's really weird. Let's drive back to our heated truck and then drive back to our heated home. I wonder, like, do these entities, we've talked about urban cryptids on this show before, but before you might be like walking in the middle of nowhere and you're parched. And then there's an illusion of this cool spring, not just a mirage, but like there's this cool spring and you walk over there and you dip down to get a drink of water and this creature jumps out of water and pulls you under. And then it turns out there was no stream. It just pulls you right into the soil. Ah, your face hits the ground and squeezes you in through a little hole or something like that. I don't know. Nowadays, would it be possible that you're walking down the street and you're like, man, my feet hurt. I'm a couple miles away from my home. I'm not thirsty. I have had a lot of bottled water and a couple of sodas on my journey. But you know what I'd really love right now is a Ford F-150. Man, if I had a Ford F-150, I could just drive out of here. And then you turn the corner and there's a Ford F-150 sitting there. And you're like, what? Wow, look at this brand new. This is a 2024 Ford F-150 with all-wheel drive and seatbelts. Look at that, that rearview mirror. Wow, I can see behind you. You're very easy to impress in this scenario. You're what? Four tires. Wow, I'm living like a king. You get in the truck. The keys are in. And it even has a little note in it. And it says, whoever finds this truck will always have some luck. And if you think this is just the trick, look in the glove box. There's the pink slip. You're like, what? And you look at it, and you open up the glove box, and there is the pink slip for the car with your name on it. Well, you go, wow, well, I guess this is my truck now. I guess you don't question it at all. You go, oh, it's my truck. And you fire it up, and you start driving, and then a creature pulls you into the soil. You're like, ah! How is this even possible? You're getting pulled through the floorboard of the car. Like, could these creatures up their game? Could they actually start tricking us? Not with lame stuff like a campfire, but stuff that we would want. Like, you're walking down the street and there's like a box of Krispy Kreme donuts on the ground. Sure, I'm hungry. And you bend over to pick up the donuts and you take a big bite. The next thing you know, you're a slave to the Goblin King and his army of fae folk because you ate their food. Like, would it just be something dumb like a ham hock, like a pile of peas? Or are they staying current with the times? It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it because I just thought of it a couple minutes ago. I would assume yes, but I don't think we've seen anything to say that. I would assume if I was a burglar, or better yet, if I was a kidnapper in the 1800s, I'd be like, hey, good sir, hop in my horse and buggy and I'll take you to your house. And you're like, okay. And then I actually end up kidnapping you. I wouldn't do that nowadays. I wouldn't have a horse and buggy. I'd get a job with Uber and you would think I was totally legit. And I was like, hop in the Uber, sir, and I'll take you to your destination. I'd drive him out to some warehouse in the middle of New Mexico. So if I was a criminal, I would definitely change with the times. I wonder if these supernatural forces are doing that as well. Like, what's the next step to... What happens when we don't have closets anymore? What happens when houses don't have closets? Where's the boogeyman going to live, right? I don't have a bed frame. I haven't had a bed frame in probably like 20, 30 years. My box spring mattress sits on the floor, and then I have a regular mattress on top of it. So nothing can live under my bed. So where do those entities go? What if everyone said, that's a pretty smart idea. Why are we paying an extra $200 for four pieces of wood to lift my bed an inch off the floor? I think bed frames are dumb. I think they're dumb. That's why I don't. It's not because I'm afraid of the boogeyman, although to be fair, I'm a little afraid of the boogeyman. That's not why. I think it's dumb. It's a waste of money. It's super stupid. Just put your box spring on the ground. It's not like you get a better night's sleep if it's lifted 4 inches off the ground. I don't even know why we have them. Boogeyman. Boogeyman is making us think we need him. If everyone did what I did, if everyone did the smart thing and saved $400, or however much they cost, I don't know, just put it on the ground. What happens to all the entities that live under the bed? Where do they go? They'd have to evolve with the time. We'll probably always have closets. I can't imagine a scenario where we stop having closets, but we could easily, as a species, just get rid of stupid bed frames, and then all that stuff that hides underneath your bed, where does it go? You almost figure there would be an evolution of the paranormal to keep things going. This fire is also possibly interdimensional. Someone, like, in another dimension could have been, they're like a freezing to death. They're like, oh, I'm so cold. And they build a fire right on top of a portal. And after they're like, well, that was the last of my fire-making supplies, but that's okay. I finally have this fire. And then once they go to warm themselves up, it goes, what? It falls from their reality into our reality, where nobody needs it. People just drive it away on snowmobiles, but in that guy's reality, he freezes to death. And people go, well, that's weird. Charlie was so good at building fires. He's always had that firekeeping kit on him. And he froze to death in the middle of nowhere. That's weird. Who would have thought that good old fire starter Charlie would be the one who froze to death? Well, he built it, but it came into an alternate dimension. Possibly paranormal. I think that is officially the name of this episode. Three stories could be totally mundane things. Or it could be paranormal. And if they are paranormal, it's some of the weirdest stuff we've covered. A ghost or whatever entity that was in Sabine's bedroom making electronic beeping sounds after a dream of a UFO. And I'm pretty sure it was a dream. I'm kind of hoping it was a dream. That bright light flying through the sky. And then when I wake up, whatever was in there was not only making mechanical electronic noises, but moving away. And that was the last that I had heard of it, so it might have been leaving the room. I do feel like a lot of the activity was trying to get me or Sabine or both of us up and moving around the house. Like trying to get us to think Jenny needs to go outside. Trying to get us to think that a Imperial probe droid is moving around in the living room. The second story as well, like a box that grants wishes, but wishes, it's not like he walked in there going, oh man, I can't wait till I get Final Fantasy VIII. It's just something he had wanted really badly, and that's what he finds. And then this story, a campfire, a perfectly built campfire built, appearing in the middle of nowhere, with no source of origin. They're all possibly paranormal, but they're all also so bizarre. The fire one, not as bizarre, but, weird in and of itself. It's almost like the mundane nature of it elevates it to like, why, who built this, why, how did they do it, and all that stuff. We have to ask these questions. But truly a possibly paranormal episode. We will get to the cursed pirate ship at some point, I promise, but I guess I shouldn't promise, right? I can't make promises. The boat may continue to sail away from us, but I'm glad you were able to join us for this episode of possibly paranormal Dead Rabbit Radio. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is at Dead Rabbit Radio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, possibly paranormal conspiracy and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great day.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.